Welcome everybody to today's Office SA call on 20th of February. Attendees on the call today are Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Mikey O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger. From staff support, we have Julie Hedlund and Christina Nordström, and Bart Boswinkel is on his way. Apologies from Patrick Jones.
Thanks, Christina. Welcome all to the call today. I'm sort of stalling. I'm sort of hoping that we'll get Jim on the call, but at the same time, I don't want to stop progress. I think we'll just keep on going. What's on the screen right now is sort of the new versions of the scales that we're going to use to evaluate the threat events. And we've circulated these to the list. I just wanted to put them in front of you and mostly make sure that, especially the this one here, is really right. I left it with question marks because sort of hoping to have a conversation today about this. I think maybe what we'll do is we'll wait on that agenda item until Jim gets on the call, because I think if we can get a nod from Jim and a nod from Jörg, we're pretty much ready to roll on that. So let's go to the second agenda item, which is the new table. The way I've laid this out, at the time, I was thinking that I was going to use this as part of the chat room, and so I wanted to get it all onto one page so it would display on the screen the way it is for you. But really what's going on is that there's one set of threat events, and there are three tables. There's the one that's the range of effects one, there's the impact one, and then there's the type of impact. And when this table is done, this one that's down below will just be moved off to the far right. So we won't have this duplicate set of threat events over here. I was doing this so that it would display on the screen, but I've come up with a different approach to that. I think the key here, there's Jim, hooray. I think the key here is to try and have this as nailed down as we can before the call so that people can really focus on their evaluation, because what I think would be fabulous is if we could come up with preliminary evaluations on the call this Thursday of all 9 of these threat events across these 3 dimensions that we've come up with. And so I just want to stop at this point and see if there's anything that leaps out at you in this new course that we're on that we need to fix before the call on Thursday. Jim's on the call. Jim, are you on the bridge as well now?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So at that point, we'll, assuming that this is more or less okay, then we'll circle back up to the scales and nail down the scales. I didn't want to do that until you were on the call. But any thoughts about this part of the thing?
Mikey, could you just give me a very short differentiation between table 2 and 3? So what's the difference between, in your thinking, between the threat event impact and the threat event type of impact?
Let me go over here. It's easier to see them. So, see if I can just squeeze this in. So the type of impact is, you know, what happens when there's a threat event? Damage to an infrastructure sector, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whereas and it's true, this is a little confusing. This is really the severity. So let's change that term. severity of impact. I think that might help. Let me fix that over here, too. Does that clear it up?
Yep.
Well enough? Good catch. Thanks. Anything else on this gizmo here?
Yes. So this is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
So I missed your little bit of introduction, and I'm sorry about that. I apologize for being a few minutes late here. The thing that I keep getting stuck on, and I'm stuck on it here again, and if you go back now to the previous slide, this previous picture where you were making the first edit, yeah, that's good. And now we're down here in this range of effects down there. So I'm not comfortable. I'm really very uncomfortable with discussions where it's all about the number of users who are affected. I really just think that is, 100% the wrong metric in which to be doing this. And maybe this gets back to, again, the question of exactly, what our scope is. My example that I like to rest on is it's not about the size of the TLD, the number of registrants, or anything else. If a TLD goes down and has some sort of catastrophic event, even if it's only 100 people, it's a crisis. It's a crisis for those 100 people. And there's no way to judge that based on the fact that it's only 100 people. You have to judge it by whether or not the particular thing that you're trying to offer is usable or not. I think that's just a big issue for me now. I mean, as I've been watching this sort of process unfold here for us, and trying to figure out how to articulate what my concern is and what I'm uncomfortable with. And that's at least one thing that sticks with me. Now, if you go forward to your other set of slides, to your other page there, where you have the three scales, here, I really am just extremely uncomfortable with certain adjectives for how we describe things. I mean, every zone file is a global file. So calling one a global file and one a lesser zone file, not outsourced to a major provider. Well, that's just not fair. Little guys outsource to major providers, and they're probably a lesser zone file by what I'm guessing is the definition intended here. There's also this question of IANA zone file. I'm not sure what that is anymore. I remember having that discussion before, and I forget what conclusion we came to. Well, let me pause there for a moment before I just continue to chat on and see what other folks have to say.
Well, that's the reason that I sort of waited, because I knew that we needed to work on this some more, Jim. So this is fine. Jurg, go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree to what Jim said with reference to the table that is not shown right now, because I still do think that our metric is supposed to be directed in that way of numberish thing. And for sure, I would agree that it might be catastrophic for a very small TLD if the zone would be completely gone. But still, we are not tasked with evaluating whether or not a certain impact might be catastrophic for a certain number or a certain group of users. The only thing we are tasked with, in my opinion, is that we should take a look at the DNS as a global service. And I still feel that if we are looking at the DNS on a global level, I doubt, catastrophic as it might be for this very TLD that might have gone off the net, it's none of our business, as the DNS is not concerned. So I would strongly disagree with what Jim said. Whereas on the other hand, I think that he's absolutely right that we haven't been consistently altering our wording that was referring to major and generic and lesser. So we still do have to do some work with the table you've been showing before.
Okay.
Olivier?
Oh, thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. There I go, yes. I think the difficulty in us being able to focus on what we're looking for is due to the moving goalposts. Let me just explain. When you look at the DNS, you look at the DNS from a specific point in the Internet. And so, of course, if the zone in which we are fails, no matter how large or small the zone is, that will be a catastrophic effect for ourselves. But it won't be for someone looking at the DNS from somewhere else in the world. And so, you know, there's no right or wrong answer in this one. The only thing I would say, though, is that the current method that we are using, because we are scattered around the world and we might have different ways of calculating, if you want, or of thinking, different cognitive ways in asserting whether a threat event is severe or less severe and what the range of the effect is, we would end up with a range of answers that would reflect our range of thoughts. Ultimately, I think we need to focus on what the end result is and what do we want to achieve at the end. If we want to provide a detailed table of the range of threat events and of its effects, then we are obviously barking up the wrong tree because we're going to have answers that are totally meaningless since we disagree on the actual severity and range of effects depending on where we are. On the other hand, if we're going to look at this as a macro pointer that will basically then give us the direction in which to go with regards to the actual analysis and actual user data and zone data. And this exercise is just only used as a way to prioritize our research. Then I would say that there's no harm in doing this because what we'll end up with is a set of priorities as to what zones and what work we have to do to get real-time data that comes out of that. You still with me?
Yeah. Jim, you want to take another swing?
Yeah, I think if I take a step back, then maybe the question that I have here and what has been bothering me is about the context or the perspective from which we are evaluating what we're doing. There was a time when I was using the phrase, you know, what is the user community affected, and that's how we judge what we're doing. I mean, I've heard us use phrases even here now that we're concerned about the operation of the DNS. Well, maybe we should poke a little bit at that and ask, what exactly does that mean, the operation of the DNS? I think I think that's the critical question here in trying to evaluate how significant the threat is or not. Because you're right, we could evaluate the operation of the DNS from the point of view of whether or not resolution can occur. And then we can go down one more level of one level deeper and suggest that, okay, sure, it's a catastrophic event if resolution can't occur. But then again, how catastrophic is it to the overall operation of the total DNS? And that would then be answered by the size of the community that's trying to do the resolution. And that still is different than the number of registrants. I mean, think about a redcross.org, okay? Multinational organization, you know, probably a lot of people use that website, one registration, right? I mean, if redcross.org were to suddenly not be available, that would be a pretty significant event for a pretty broad base of the Internet. So I don't know. I still come back to the question of in what context are we evaluating these questions, and I'm very concerned that we don't all have the same point of view, and this data collection that we're doing here, these votes, I'm concerned that they're not as meaningful as they could be because we're answering them from a different perspective. On the other hand, if we were writing prose and we could lay out these perspectives and talk about all the different points of view, I suspect we would be just fine. But I'm really concerned about these votes and this process because we don't have a single point of perspective. We're not answering the question, and I don't think we're all on the same foundation as to the scope of the question. I'll stop there.
I think the next, you know, the question coming back is, what do we do to fix that?
I would like us to explore exactly, you know, maybe we do need to revisit our scope a little bit, and maybe we should do that here, obviously, before Thursday, you know, but what exactly are we investigating? What is the scope of the questions that we're asking ourselves, and what is that context? And then we have to be careful to remind ourselves of that all the time. I mean, that I think right now, based on the discussion we're having here, that's what I would say. So be interested in what others think.
Thoughts from others? Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier here, and I agree with what's just been said. And I would actually also add, where are we going after the current exercise? What's our next step after that? You know, what do we hope to be taking out of the current work that we're doing?
I threw the goals and objectives slide out of our charter up on the screen because I think that's the beacon that we need to follow. And I think, you know, I'll channel Mark for a minute because he's not on the call today. And sort of weave it in with what you said, Olivier. I think that the goal of this part of the exercise is to focus on the threats to the DNS. And remember, we did have a pretty good discussion about that and agreed that Greg Aaron wrote a memo sort of defining the edges of the DNS. So, Jim, in terms of your Red Cross example, I would go back to that memo and say, certainly a severe impact, but outside the scope of what we're working on. Because the other thing that I think we use to define that scope is that architecture drawing. But what's on the screen now, this goals and objectives thing, is really what we're after, is actual level frequency and severity of threats to the DNS. And I worry that if we don't use some repeatable process to sort of narrow this down, that the work that we don't, the work that we use won't be reusable by subsequent groups. Remember, we're only the first of what is probably going to be many groups of people that are going to be tackling this question at a whole bunch of different levels of detail. And I think it would be useful to leave a structure behind that people can agree on. So rather than backing away totally from these scales and this methodology, which is certainly an option. I mean, we could essentially say, then this methodology isn't going to work, that approach to the work isn't going to work, and we're going to rethink it. I'm very cautious about doing that, but we could certainly explore it.
I'm sorry. So, you know, this is Jim. I'm just jumping in here. I'm not suggesting that we move away from the methodology, okay? What concerns me is the methodology, the way that we're asking the questions is not scoped well enough. So let me see if I can try the following example. I mean, the first goal up there is actual level, frequency, and severity of threats to the DNS. Okay? And I like that, and I understood that when it was there before. But now, after having gone through the methodology and seen some of the questions that we're asking ourselves and the way that we're trying to phrase and characterize things, I think about the following. I think we need to step back and decide what the DNS is and what we mean by that, because there is a provisioning side to this and there's a use side of this, right? You have the resolution side. What's interesting to me about the provisioning side is you can, well, just take two extremes to make this quick and dirty here. You could have a significant service provider, you know, such as ourselves, affiliates, or you could be doing it yourself, okay? It really doesn't matter what size zone you are. If you choose a significant service provider, then you're going to get a better level of service than if you did it yourself on average. I mean, I think that's a pretty fair comparison and a statement to make. On the other hand, that service provider would have certain kinds of issues and provisioning issues or, you know, service issues within itself. It would have a pretty dramatic effect on a very large number of zones, and thus a dramatic effect on a very large number of people. But I'm not sure that any of the questions that we've been asking capture that particular point where we're focused on the infrastructure that provides it and look at it from that point of view of a service provider. Now, if we look at the resolution side and we say to ourselves, if our focus on looking at the threats and their frequency and their effect on the DNS, and if our definition of the DNS is, does resolution work? Can a user get the information that they need? And that really is the only context in which we focus. That's actually pretty nice, and it's pretty scoped. It's pretty rounded. Responses to it could be about how you choose your service provider, then become some of the responses for how you deal with certain class of threats. Okay, but it also brings in infrastructure questions, you know, like network availability. Maybe I'm disconnected from the net, and that has nothing to do with the DNS, okay, but it's certainly a threat to resolution that I become disconnected. And I haven't seen us sort of get to that kind of question as we're going through this thing yet. The other thing about resolution is we haven't talked a lot about how the DNS works itself. And resolution, of course, is affected by caching. Sometimes certain kinds of failures can happen, and they can come and go, and people might never notice because caching is working in their favor. We haven't gotten into any of the issues that deal with that kind of question. So, I don't know. What I'm trying to do is give examples of how I'm just concerned that the actual scope of the questions that we're asking is not contained enough. I mean, I don't think it's the process that has a problem. It's how we're asking the question and the context for the question, and that really does concern me. So maybe the methodology doesn't match what we're trying to do, but, you know, and maybe, you know, Mikey, you were sort of opening that door, and, you know, maybe that's an interesting thing to explore, but I want to try to understand the problem space first. If I'm not explaining the problem space that I have here, maybe we should continue to talk about that before we try to find solutions to it. That's me.
I note you're in the queue, Jurg, but hang on just a second because I want to jump in. One of the things that I hear you saying, Jim, and I just want to see if I'm hearing that right, because if I am, I think I agree with you on this, and that is, if we did a better job of defining the threat events, remember, this list of threat events came from, it started as the non-adversarial threats, then it got matched and permutated with threat sources. And so it got refined a bit there. Then it got thinned because we took an architectural. Christina, Olivia got dropped off the call. Can you get a dial out going to him again?
I will.
Thanks a lot. So, if we could pick one of these, the one that comes to mind, let's stick with one like this, Jim. If as an example of I think what you're talking about, and we said, okay, the root zone is incorrectly published, or maybe even better yet, not published at all. Given what you just said, maybe that needs to be refined, partly to get to the caching issue that you raised. But let's presume for a minute that that the thread event is correctly described. Then would the tables work? Because if in fact the thread events are wrong, I'd be quite comfortable with the notion that we need to go back and tune those up, given the three questions that we're now asking about them, because of the path that we took to get to those thread events not being perhaps the right one. Does that alleviate some of the concern that you've got if we were to sort of say, look, we need to come back and beat on these thread events some more before we evaluate them? This is really aimed at Jim, and then I'll open up to Jörg again.
Yeah, I'm just thinking for a minute. Why not let Jörg speak while I think a little bit about that?
I'm thinking myself because I wanted to comment on some things, but the discussion has already moved on. But following the discussion, to be a little bit fatalistic, I assume if I would push this discussion a little bit further, and I think it was you, Jim, who's been asking, we should think about how the DNS is built and what the impact might be. We should try to state that with reference to how the DNS is built. So if we step back and take a look on how the DNS is built, and we do know about all the provisioning that is currently taking place, like a distributed database, like caching, and so forth, like anycast operations, one may very, very well assume that whatever might come our way, the DNS might not be affected in any way, or it might be affected just a couple of seconds, or it might be affected for a certain community, which is in relation to the overall users of the DNS, not worth talking about, even though it might be catastrophic for the one and very person. So this might even lead once again to the question I already asked, and I was almost crucified by Jim, by the way, when I asked, are we really supposed to work on the task of the working group furthermore? Because we might very well argue after these discussions that we do not see that the DNS is affected in any way. But if we do want to state some dangers, we might have to formulate and argument them and describe them in the way we do. And that might be the most objective by, using numbers and descriptors.
Thanks, Jörg. I note that Olivier is back with us. It's good to have you back. Jim?
I hope I wasn't too confusing and you got what I meant.
I think I'm tracking.
Okay.
What do you think, Jim?
I was going to say a little less so here. just trying to pull the pieces together in my head here and try to make a suggestion. Wow. I'm really just not sure. The path I was thinking about, I'll just put this out there, even though I'm not even 100% sure about it myself, is these threat events are interesting, and maybe if there's a way to take certain of the adjectives out of them, then they become interesting, and you can state it, and then you can dig into it from a top-down kind of view. So, for example, you know, the first two are disrupt the global or disrupt the lesser zone files. What if we just had, you know, disrupt the provisioning of the zone file? The comment here is that the resolution is going to provide the wrong information. So that becomes a particular type of threat. We don't really care about the size of the zone file. It's just a threat. Maybe as part of the discussion, we'll comment a little bit about, well, obviously, big zone files like .com that have major disruptions will be pretty significant. But, you know, it's a pretty significant event if you're going to be pushing out wrong data. Then there's this, you know, disrupt DNSSEC from a major provider. The observation being that DNSSEC is often an outsourced thing. Wouldn't expect most people to really be doing that themselves. And so that's a sort of a category of threat events. Disrupt DNSSEC for a TLD zone. Well, why don't we just call it a zone file? Why call it a TLD in particular? If this is about the operation of the DNS, do we really care at what level it is? We only care what level it is when we get to talking about the severity of the particular event from the point of view of the Internet. As opposed to the point of view of the users of that particular zone. I don't know. So I'm just sort of throwing that out there. I don't know if that helps or hurts.
I think what it does is it says that I was at least on the right track when I said that the threat events probably need to be reworked a bit before we can run them through this three-question grinder that we've built. And I think the one again, let's presume away the troubles for a minute. And let's presume that we get a list of threat events. Let's pick one. Let's pick the adjective-free version of one of these and then run it through this grinder in our heads and see if that gets us to a place that we want to get to. So let's, you know, let's pick, if we took this one and said it disrupts a zone, you know, a zone file is disrupted, paying no attention to scale. How would we accommodate the difference between a big one and a small one in our analysis? Because I think we care more about .com going away than we do a small one, and I think, you know, we need some way to accommodate that range of effects.
So, this is Jim. I mean, my first response to the disruption of a zone file is to say that this is a pretty severe event, and its effect is dramatic and significant to the users of that zone. It's also dramatic and significant, well, let's stay away from registration. So it, from the point of view of resolution, if our focus here is on resolution, because we want to know about the operation of the DNS, and that's the operation side that we care about, which is another qualification we probably have to revisit, I would say that any disruption of a zone file is actually pretty significant to the users of that thing. Now, if we want to look at it from the context of the Internet, then we have to add some extra qualifications on here that say, however, you know, the Internet-wide effect of a disruption in a zone file will vary with the actual number of users of that zone file. And then we can always use .com as the canonical example against virtually anything else. You know,
right.
So, you know, if .com were to have a significant disruption in the file and the data were actually wrong, then the global Internet is likely to care about that a great deal than just your typical country code. You know, given the size of most country code files, you know, the Internet would not be as affected by that loss.
So
the threat severity is about the users who want the resolution to work. The range of the effect is, well, that's interesting. Now I'm just suddenly qualifying these things in an interesting way here.
I threw the other scales up because I thought it might.
But Jim, this is exactly the way we do have to look at it, I think. Is resolution for a certain number of users possible or not? And that's a closer qualification to the term the DNS is in danger or is not in danger.
Right. I think we're agreeing.
So here's the thought, and that is, I think we could approach it one of two ways. We could either, what I hear Jim saying, I'm going to flip your eyeballs again, sorry, is that we could either shorten the threat event list and make it less adjective riddled. So we could say disrupts a zone file, period. And then, because we do care about scale, we could add another layer that says, okay, well, within disrupts a zone file, there are different flavors. There are big ones and little ones. And so we could say...
Well, let's talk about the user communities of those zone files, not the size of the zone file.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, I think everybody's agreed that its number of users is the big, small dimension, not number of zones in it.
Well, again, that presumes that we are defining our scope of whether or not the DNS is working to be based on whether or not resolution is working. I think that's an important detail.
So we could change the threat event to a major zone, or a zone does not resolve. Again, what I'm hearing is that we need to work on the threat list.
Right. Well, that's two different threats. Okay.
Right.
One
right.
threat is you disrupt the content of the zone file in some way. The other threat is that the zone is not resolving.
Right.
Because the zone is not resolving could be an event completely unrelated to the DNS. You know, that gets into your network connectivity issue.
Right. And so I'm fine with the notion, you know, this is back to the thought that I had, which is that this list of threats needs to be reworked given the place we're at. I guess the question I'm driving at is, do we do two layers of a hierarchy where we say, okay, here's the threat event, DNS, or a zone does not resolve. Let's stick with that one. And then we have another layer in the threat event hierarchy where we say big ones and little ones, whatever the scale is. Users is fine with me. Or do we just make a taller list, which is what we did here. What we did here with the global versus lesser is we sort of squished that hierarchy into one list. So what I'm headed for is, do we have a single list, or do we have a two-tier list where we say, you know, here's a threat event, and now we're going to qualify it by its size? either way, I think works fine. And what I hear is that these three questions, you know, how severe is it, how sweeping is it, and what happens when the thing breaks, are okay, but that the things we're feeding into this list of questions isn't quite ready for prime time yet. I guess that's where I'm curious if we can find agreement around that. And it says that the next thing we ought to do is really hammer on the threat list, given this series of questions that we want to ask of that list. And if that's the right approach, then I think what we do on Thursday is we hammer on the threat list. We don't worry about voting right now. But we hammer on that list knowing that eventually that's what we're going to do. We're going to vote on these three dimensions about it once we get it to the point we are comfortable with it. Is that the right way forward? What do people think?
So I have two questions. First, on the threat list. So let's just take one example. A zone doesn't resolve. Inside of that, I mean, that's certainly an event all by itself. And then we get to talk about what are the causes of that particular threat. And I'm wondering if our plan here is to expand the threat list to have each of these to be voted on, or are we just going to vote on, you know, the zone does not resolve? Because, for example, if I look at zone does not resolve, if I look inside that, I have to ask myself, well, it could be a network connectivity issue, could be a resolver issue, could be an authoritative server issue. You know, those are just sort of the three obvious, very big things that, you know, could be the reason for this, as well as just a local machine issue. You know, my own environment could be broken for some reason or another. Those become threats to resolution not working, or those are the causes of the threat that we're concerned about, which is, you know, resolution doesn't work. It depends on how we're planning to really write this and what we're trying to achieve. So that's one question about how we're going to expand out these threats. I mean, I think
hold your second one, and let me try answering the first one before we go to that. The distinction that the methodology makes is between threats and the vulnerabilities and predisposing conditions that cause them. And so back to Olivier's question, where are we going? If we stick with DNS doesn't resolve, if we conclude that that's a really big deal and we want to continue working on it, then very soon thereafter, probably immediately after that, we would develop the list of vulnerabilities and tie them to those threats. So that's at least the way the methodology thinks about it, is the way that it goes. So there's at least a tentative answer to that question. Now you can go on to the second one if you want.
Yeah, actually, you've made my first question worse by suggesting that, because now it just suddenly occurs to me that, all right, we want to, if we decide and agree that we're going to define the DNS as resolution working for a user, then, you know, the overarching threat is that resolution fails. And so we are going to have some set of categories underneath it for the threats that we want to care about. Because otherwise we really only have one threat, because we only have, if our goal is that resolution has to work, we really only have one threat, which is that resolution fails. But there are a lot of vulnerabilities that would allow for that threat to occur.
And actually, I think that's our, if we go back to our goal, I think actually that's kind of what people were expecting.
One threat?
I think that in fact the terms that were used during the chartering are different than the terms that we're using here. That, in fact, what they want is actual level, frequency, and severity of vulnerabilities to the DNS. And current efforts and activities to mitigate those vulnerabilities, and et cetera, et cetera.
So I would go along with that to the extent that we agree that our definition of the, quote, DNS, unquote, is that resolution works for users. So that becomes an important question in my mind. If we agree that's what we're doing, then I agree, Mikey, with what you just said.
I'm not sure that that's the only one. I would certainly accept that as one. But I think we do get to the provisioning issue that you raise. You know, I don't think it's just resolution. I think it's also things like the ability to manage it. And I think there's also, in addition to resolution, I think there is also this notion that it's incorrect, even though it's resolving. It's resolving badly. And that there is another one that has something to do with DNSSEC. So I think that we have a series of them, not just one. I was sort of picking that one just as an example to test our series of three questions. But I think that there is more than one. And then I think that the real interesting discussion is getting into the vulnerabilities that lead to those, and then figuring out whether any of those vulnerabilities are really exposed. Because I think that, you know, if we go back to the Beckstrom comment that sort of triggered all this, the big deal is, and the implication was, that there are vulnerabilities that have not been addressed, and so there's high risk. So
I have a partial answer, but Jörg has got his hand up there.
Yeah, go ahead, Jörg.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I think we might be on the right track and approaching the problem by stating three or two major questions, like, is the DNS resolving? Is it correctly doing so? Might be the key issue, and then try to figure out which vulnerabilities might lead to those to the falsification of those major criteria like resolution and correct resolution. And we might not, we probably should not focus on why, for example, in each and every threat event, why a resolution isn't possible. And that's exactly what we have been doing before. So we gave loads of reasons why a resolution couldn't take place, and we try to vote on this, whereas we're probably not even concerned with the different events that might lead to the fact that a domain name is not resolving. The only thing we are interested in is whether the DNS is resolving or not, and if it's doing so correctly. So probably what we should just do is turn around, ask those two or three major questions, and follow these down to the vulnerabilities that might lead to a not resolution or to an incorrect resolution.
I like that. I think we're focusing in on something here. You're right, Mikey. There is more than one threat. I mean, I think I can pretty easily see three major threats. One, of course, is whether or not DNS is resolving. So that just simply speaks to the question of whether or not a user trying to get information has the opportunity to get it. And then there are all kinds of vulnerabilities that are inside of that. The second issue is whether or not the right data is available to the user. And so this gets to the question, that allows us to explore some elements of the provisioning side. Because the DNS could be resolving, the user can get an answer, but there's always the question of whether it's the right answer. because of something which happened on the provisioning side or something else operationally. The third question, which seems natural to me, which I think I would split out, it's actually, to me, it's really a subpart of whether or not the right information is being served, but I think it's a large enough category to be called out separately, which is the security of the resolution process. And so we get to talk about DNSSEC in particular, because I think it has its own set of issues that could go on that, of course, are related, I think, to what's in all the other things, which is why I think it's really a subcategory of correctness, but worthy of being pulled out into its own category. I mean, to me, those three threats sort of stand out pretty obviously, given the discussion that we've just had here. And everything else is a vulnerability inside of one of those three things.
Way to go us. I think we're getting there. I think the one kind of fly in the ointment is the scale issue. Big ones and little ones. How do we accommodate that in that approach?
And to me, that's a question inside of everything. When we get to the vulnerability, I mean, it's pretty easy to say that certain vulnerabilities are serious. You know, I mean, if a zone file disappears and it goes off and it doesn't resolve, I think it's pretty easy to say that that's a serious event. Solely in the context of the DNS, that's a serious event. Now, from the point of view of is the DNS resolving to the Internet at large, we get to go inside that particular event and say, okay, how much do we care about this event? Well, now we get into the size of the user community of that event. And that's how we decide the Internet-wide severity of a particular event, and that's how it's judged. And we can speak to that range. And that's where we can say things like small TLD, even if it goes offline, probably not a significant event. Large TLD, probably a serious, it's a crisis event. The root zone going offline, well, you know, that's a pretty big event because then nobody is accessible ultimately once all the cache has run out kind of thing. And I think PROS lets us get to all of that and those little nuances. But the question of severity is inside of the event itself and the user community that is affected by it.
So let me play that back to make sure I've got it right. One approach to this would be to at least defer the range of impact discussion and maybe just handle it in PROS rather than actually, you know, evaluating it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think that's one way to approach it. I think that does require that when we ask the question about the severity, we have to be careful to point out that we're talking about the severity of this event as it relates to a DNS query being able to resolve.
Well, for that threat event.
That's right, for that particular threat event. And we have to, you know, and so we have to be careful not to try to we have to keep out of that question, this whole range of effects thing. Because that's the only thing that's going to let us be able to look at, you know, a TLD zone file goes offline, you know, what is the effect? Well, that's a 10. It's severe. Okay? Might not be for the Internet at large, but from the point of view of resolution actually working, that's a serious and catastrophic event if you're suddenly not available. And I think that'll get us all to evaluating these things in the same way and understanding them in the same way.
I like that. Olivier?
Yeah, thank you, Mikey. It's Olivier. Jim, what would you then qualify as a threat event having severity with limited adverse effects, just looking at resolution? Because it might, I mean, I thought it either resolves or it doesn't. I mean, are there halfway lines on that?
Let me take a stab at that. I think that what we are doing is getting down to a list of threat events that are all going to wind up being 10s, which I think is fine. The reason I think it's fine is because we were essentially handed a charter that said, go take a look at threat events that are 10s. They didn't know they were saying that at the time. You know, one way to almost artificially, but maybe not. One way to get a bunch of threat events that are not 10s is to add a bunch of threat events that we essentially agree we don't want to spend a lot of time looking at, and then evaluating them so that we can document why we don't want to look at them.
Well, there's another way to look at this, too. Okay, so that's actually an excellent question, Olivier, and I hadn't really thought about it. So Mikey just said it, you know, maybe all the threat events end up being 10s. And then I realized that why does the DNS, you know, why does it always look like it's working and it's there? And what's interesting is I think that one of the outcomes that we want to understand and get to and be able to document here is the DNS really is a very stable and resilient system. In the face of all of these potential threats, which do happen from time to time, the event itself might be a 10. The effect is not a 10, and the reason is because caching is probably the number one reason why certain kinds of events can come and go. Even a TLD, if the authoritative servers are gone offline for a short while, based on the TTL and the amount of data that's cached, that might have a pretty negligible effect. So I think that the event itself is serious, but the effect will vary depending on caching in particular, depending on number of authoritative servers. So now you get into service provider issues. You have a large service provider which with a broad presence, or you're doing this yourself on your own, you know, home name server or one machine name server kind of thing, where, you know, that's where the effect is certainly much larger. So I think Olivier, the answer to your question is not, I think you're asking the wrong question. It's not about whether or not the event is severe or not. It's about whether the effect is severe or not, and the effect of the event will vary depending on circumstances, but the DNS has got built into it, the protocol has built into it the ability to keep most events as negligible impact for most users.
Now, I'm going to insert a term out of the methodology, and I'm doing this primarily for me so that I document it. But I think that what you're talking about, Jim, is what the methodology is trying to get at when it talks about predisposing conditions. That we have, as a predisposing condition, a pretty good architecture that addresses many of the threats simply by virtue of the architecture being there, and the caching is a perfect example of that. So this is just a documentation note. Olivier, you want to come back? Anybody else want to come back? It seems to me, well, we're right at the top of the hour, so I know we probably need to drop off pretty soon, but it seems as though where we're headed is probably a repeat of this conversation on the call on Thursday. And a confirmation across the larger group that we're on the right track, and then if we are on the right track, and maybe refining it a bit, getting a pretty serious chunk of work done on the threat list, given this new context that we're in. So I think we are headed in a direction that we're all tending to agree. Any thoughts?
I agree that we're probably going to have this conversation again on Thursday. And who knows, we may learn some things here.
Well, I think that, you know, even though I know that some people, you know, Greg did a pretty eloquent job of expressing his frustration on the last call, but, you know, I think that every step we take, we learn something. And, you know, I think we just, you know, we're sort of building a plane while we're flying it. We just have to keep doing that.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think it's two minutes after the hour, so I think we'll wrap up. Thanks, all. I'm going to be listening to this transcript because I couldn't take notes and participate in this. This is too much content for me to be able to do notes at the same time. So that's it for me. Christina, I think you can wrap us up, and we'll see you all on Thursday, I hope. Take care.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.